Well, once again, we continue in a sermon series we've been calling Won't You Be My Neighbor, where we're looking at the art of good neighboring and how we can bless those around us in Moore County. If you were with us last week, you remember that we handed out these good neighboring calendars. If you didn't get one, we would love to have you pick one up on your way out of the sanctuary. They're on that big round table with the flowers. But this is a way we have daily deeds where, as one community, we can bless our neighbors. Now, last week, we looked at how a good neighbor is generous. A good neighbor gives generously and also receives generously. But this week, we're looking at good neighbors and the gift of hospitality. So to that end, we have a reading from Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. Abraham said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So these three men said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before the three men. Abraham stood by them under the tree while they ate. The three men said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And Abraham said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "Oh, yes, you did laugh." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Just so you know, 29 is actually the equivalent of 99 in pastor years, because you guys age people very quickly. Will you pray with me? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter. We are your clay. Melt us and mold us, make us and use us, have thine own way. Amen. Well, to begin this morning, I have a riddle for you. You guys ready? What is free yet priceless? You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. And once you've lost it, you can never have it back again. What is it? Well, the answer, of course, is time. I mean, think about it. Think about it. Time is free and it's priceless. You can't keep time, but you can use time. You can't spend time, or you can spend time, but once you've lost it, you can never have it back again. Time, after all, it's a non-renewable resource. It doesn't matter how rich or how poor you are. Everyone has the exact same amount of it. Everyone has 24 hours in a day, 168 hours in a week, 8,760 hours in a year. And when that time is gone, well, believe me, it is gone. Maybe that's why, as a culture, we guard our time so carefully. Because whether you want it to be or not, your time is your most valuable possession. With that, I want to bring us back to our scripture passage this morning and the story of Abraham in the wilderness. You see, in our scripture passage this morning, Abraham did not have a lot of time to accomplish everything God wanted him to accomplish. Earlier in the book of Genesis, God had given Abraham a great command. He told Abraham to go to a new land. He told Abraham to begin a new family, to change the world with his own two hands. But the one thing God had not given Abraham was any more time to accomplish that great deed. Abraham was just like me and you. He had 24 hours in a day. 168 hours in a week, 8,760 hours in a year, and his time was beginning to run out. He was 99 years old, after all. His life was already filled to the brim with responsibility, caring for flocks and herds. He had to care for the servants and the maids. He had to look after the camels and the donkeys. He didn't have time to spare, and what little time he had, well, it was moving pretty quickly. The more he tried to keep up with it, the more it began to slip away. That's what happens sometimes with time. And sometimes it can move by a little too fast. Now, I remember right after Joseph was born, a church member coming up to me and saying, "David, I know you are exhausted." She said, "I see it in your face. But just know this. Know that when it comes to raising kids, the days, they are long, but the years are short. Pay attention," she said to me, "because it will go faster than you think. Yes, once it's gone, it's gone. You can never get it back." Abraham, he was running out of time. He was losing time when the scripture says one day three strangers showed up at his door. Now, who these strangers were, Abraham didn't know. They didn't announce their identity to him, but Abraham welcomed them just the same. He met them. He bowed down before him. He invited them to come and eat at his table. Now, no one would have faulted Abraham if he had turned these men away. After all, he was on a divine mission. He had a higher calling. He didn't have time for this kind of interruption, and yet he stopped the same. And he sat down with these strangers, and he broke bread with them, and he made them feel like they were the most important people in the entire world. There's a theologian by the name of Karl Barth who once said, "If I give you my money, I give you my money. But if I give you my time, I give you me. If I give you my time, I give you all that I am." You see, the gift of hospitality, Christian hospitality, is nothing more than the gift of time. Now, hospitality is nothing more than pressing pause on all those important things you have going on in your life and instead saying yes to the person who is right in front of you. It's setting aside all your shoulds and all your ought-tos and giving yourself to another person and not asking anything in return. And it's not easy. I know it's not easy, but well, let's face it, very few of the things Jesus asks us to do are easy. But they're important. Hospitality is one of the greatest gifts you can offer to someone else. And maybe that's why the book of Hebrews says we should not neglect to show it to strangers. For by doing so, some have entertained angels without even knowing it 24 hours a day. 168 hours a week, 8,760 hours a year, and the Bible says you just give it away. Time. It's your most valuable possession, and it can be the hardest thing to let go of. The other day, I saw an app for my iPhone that was designed to help me track the value of my time. Now, basically, how the app worked was you plugged in your annual salary, and you plugged in how many hours you would work in a given week, and then, well, it would calculate it to find out exactly how much your time is worth. So if you work a standard 40-hour work week and you make $1,000 a week, well, your time's worth $25 an hour. You make $4,000 a week, your time is worth $100 an hour. Now, let me ask you, why would a person want to keep track of the value of their time? Well, according to the app, it's so you know exactly how much that conversation with your coworker is really costing you. It's so you know how much that two-hour birthday lunch with your mother is actually costing you. You know the value of your time, and you start to become a little stingy with it. You start to hoard it just a little bit too much. Oh, it's easy to give money. It's easy to give your resources, but to give your time is another thing entirely. Maybe that's why I'm told in some Eastern countries, the proper way to respond to the question, how are you doing, is simply to say, I'm very busy, thank you very much. Yes, no, time is something that we just don't like to let go of. And yet it's the very thing God calls us to do. The very thing God calls us to offer. God tells us to be prodigal with our time, to give it away freely. And why does God tell us to do that? Well, it's because you never know when an angel is going to come knocking at your door, asking to share a meal with you. You never know when that stranger you think is an inconvenience, you think is an interruption, is actually God's blessing for you in disguise. Yes, the Lord appeared to Abraham in the wilderness, and Abraham welcomed him in. And he took a calf and he slaughtered it, and he took curds and milk and he prepared it, and together they sat down at the tree and they ate together. And when the meal was over, the strangers turned to Abraham's wife, Sarah, and they told her she would conceive a son. Now, even though she was advanced in years, even though the family had long since given up hope in having children, the strangers told her that a miracle was about to take place, and that their lives were going to change forever. Now, notice, in the scripture, Abraham was the one who thought he was doing the blessing. He was the one offering the gift. He was the one showing the hospitality. But in the end, he was the one who ended up blessed. That's just how hospitality works. You set out thinking you're the one doing the good deed. You set out thinking you're the one offering something to someone else, only to realize in the end, you receive so much more. Now, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, the Bible said, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without even knowing. Preacher by the name of Tom Long tells a story of a conversation he had one day with a retired nurse up in Asbury Park, New Jersey, who had stepped away from the medical profession after years in its service. Dr. Long asked the woman how she was enjoying her retirement, and she said that actually it had been more of a challenge than she originally thought. After being home for just a few months, she became restless with the sedentary lifestyle. So much so that she eventually decided to do something about it. She told Dr. Long that she actually had applied for a new job. It was a job working at one of the local nursing homes. She signed up to be a chambermaid, to clean toilets and change linens, to change each room each day of the residence. "That's what you're doing in your retirement," he said. "You're working as a chambermaid? Forgive me for saying this, but that doesn't seem like much of a retirement to me." But the woman just shook her head and said, no, it's actually perfect. You see, she said, "After I change the sheets and after I take out the trash, well, I have an opportunity to sit down with each of the residents. And I sit down and we talk each day. They tell me about their kids and their grandkids and their great-grandkids. They tell me about growing up during the war. They talk and I listen. And well, when I leave the room, I can't help but feel a little bit better." Yes, she said, "This is exactly where I am supposed to be." Yes, if I give you my money, I give you my money. But if I give you my time, I give you all that I am. If I give you my time, I give you myself. So may you never neglect to show hospitality to the stranger. That may you give of yourself freely, 24 hours a day, 168 hours a week, 8,760 hours a year, knowing in the end you are the one who will be blessed. For by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. May indeed you find your angels. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Will you pray with me? Eternal God, we thank you that indeed we are able to offer the gift of welcome, the gift of hospitality, because first you have welcomed us. You have welcomed us into the arms of your mercy. You have shown us great acceptance and love. And we pray, Lord, for the strength of your Spirit that we can go into your world and we can offer that same welcome to others, knowing they are loved. They are blessed. God, give us such hearts of compassion, hearts of openness, that in our homes people might always find your welcome. And for we offer this prayer in your Son's name. Amen.